Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, already in progress.
Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have all of you today. Praise God. Anybody in here today know Jesus? Hey, woo, wow, praise the Lord. Aren't we glad we know Jesus? We heard a gentleman last week give a testimony about a hernia. The person that prayed for him was only 3 years old. So do you think that anybody but God had anything to do with that testimony? I mean, when a three-year-old child prays for you, you can forget it. It's God.
That's right. Amen.
Is that right, Mike? Amen. You can't say, wow, that was that anointed preacher. Look at that. He's been to college, you know. He's got 14 degrees, you know. My God. Oh, you know, we would like to brag on ourselves if we had all that. But the best thing the Lord said, he uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. So if we think that it's anything other than Jesus, well, that's a perfect place to start, right, brother?
Amen.
If a three-year-old prays for you and you get healed,
yeah,
it's Jesus.
Amen.
But I think we're smart enough around here to know that if a 60-year-old, 70-year-old prays for you and you get healed, it's still Jesus. Because, you know, this is amazing. I stand in awe to think of the men that are married to different women all over this world, Christian men, pastors, even like myself, that virtually never pray for their spouse. You know, that never see an answer to a prayer. But since we've learned how to pray, one of the things that I love about God, that if I'm walking in obedience to his word, and my wife has her sins confessed, and I have my sins confessed, anytime she has a need, I pray for her. Guess what happens? She always gets her answer. God always answers. But did he say in his word that all of my promises are yes and amen?
Yes.
So, you know, it makes me wonder, and maybe you could give me some insight into this. Why is it if God always says his promises are yes and amen? I never say no to my promises to my obedient children. Never. Then why do so few of us pray? You ever wonder that? And when it comes to husbands, I really have a problem there. I talked to a lady last week, and her and her husband both worked in a church, in an Assembly of God church. She had a problem, a physical problem, a real bad physical problem. And so I said, well, who's praying for you? She said, well, me. I said, where's your husband? She said, well, you know, he don't pray for me. I said, he is a Christian. Oh, yeah, he's a Christian. He's a good Christian man, but he don't pray for me. I pray for myself. I said, so how's it working? I said, are you getting your answer? She said, well, as a matter of fact, I'm not. I said, do you ever stop to think if God says in his word, all of my promises are yes and amen? Is that what he said?
Yes.
So if God says all of my promises are yes and amen, how many does that leave out, Franz?
Not many.
You're right, not many. There's not a whole lot left out of all, is there? God clearly promised us that he would do it, answer every time. What really gets me, just like this lady the other day was having all the issues, I told her, I said, ma'am, it's not working because you're not submitting to your husband in all things. What are you trying to tell me? I said, ma'am, your husband is your head, and he needs to pray for you about everything. I said, in fact, I said, since he is your head, God told him to pray for you, and he told you to submit to your husband in all things. And she said, well, yeah, I know he did, but, and I said, now, wait a minute. What is left out of all? She said, well, now, Thurman, you don't really think God meant all. I said, what do you think he meant? I mean, you know, I'm just, in my older life, I'm just about getting smart enough finally to believe that God knows what he meant and meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Don't y'all understand that?
Yes.
If God said do something, he meant it. So anyway, I think of the people that I pray for, and I prayed with another lady this last week that was really amazing. It didn't make it here. What I said, this woman had nothing but negative things to say about her husband. I mean, she'd been married to him many years. He's a good man, she says. But she had nothing good to say about her husband. Nothing. I told her, I said, ma'am, do you not know that you have what you say with your mouth? Do you not know that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? Do you not know that if you want if this husband that you have, if you want him to be a better husband, you need to walk up to him and you need to say, honey, you are the most awesome man in the world. Just reach up and grab him and pull him right up against you and look him right in the eye and say, you know, you are the smartest man I ever met. You can do all things. Ain't nothing you can't do. I'm so glad I married you. You know what that does for a man when a woman he married to starts telling him things like that? Every woman should feel like that about the man she married. And if you tell him that on a regular basis, just tell him, you know, I mean, how handsome he is or how smart he is. And, oh, I mean, you know, I knew that when I had that something broke there in the house, I knew all I had to do was call you and you could fix it. I've never seen anything you can't fix. There may be a few things that takes a little longer than others, but you get it done. And there is, you know, I mean, there's times, you know, that it takes you time to do it. But if you stay with it, that man, especially if that woman's behind him saying, you can do this. There's no problem. I know you can get that done. But honey, I ain't never done one of these. Oh, but I know with you and the knowledge that God give you, I know you can do it. And boy, if she's telling him that, I mean, you got to realize we got to say what we want. If you want to ruin a man, all you got to do is tell him, you don't know how to do anything right. You know, you can't fix anything. You might as well call a specialist because you can't do nothing. You want to ruin your husband, you want to really mess him up, just talk like that around him for a while. And then you'll wonder why he don't ever want to be around you. You know, he won't want to be around you if all you do is talk negative about him. But I just stop and think about these little children here. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I think, and Cheryl can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we have gotten 3 letters from people, at least 2, from ladies in this church that little Sarah touched them in the name of Jesus and they got healed. Oh, one of them was a lady from out of town at the healing school. She wrote back and said, when this little girl touched me, I got healed. That's Dave's little girl. Yeah. Now, Dave's got 6 of them little prayer warriors. I got to tell you a funny little story about little John, the first one. When he got hit in the head with a baseball bat one time, I happened to walk in the back door, and Dave said something about, son, you want me to pray for you? And little John turned around and looked at me as I come in the back door and said, no, Daddy, I want the big guns to pray for me this time. That was so funny when he said that. So, I mean, even the children know who has the power. And so I went up and laid my hand on that big old knot in little John's head and asked the Lord to be merciful to him, take the knot and heal him, and thanked him for doing it and everything. And I said, now, John, you know you got to believe. He said, oh, Papa T, if you pray for me, it's a done deal. And sure enough, a little while later, I come by and I said, how's your head? He said, it don't hurt anymore, and the knot's almost completely gone. Well, let me tell you what, that didn't happen very many times. Because as these children begin to grow up, they begin to see Daddy pray for them, and they saw, so guess who, since they see Daddy always get his prayer answered, do they ever come to me again? No, huh? They don't have to come to me. They know who the big guns is in their house, and it's Daddy. You know, and that's the way it should be in every home. Every home, the big guns should be the dad. And when the children call on Dad, Dad should be so connected with the big gun, the only big gun, God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, that when Daddy prays for your children or whatever, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't make a difference if it's, I mean, whatever. We ought to be able to pray for people and get our prayers answered. And our children, as they walk with us and live with us and see Daddy get those kind of prayers and get them answered, one day, if they do leave home and go to college, if they do in the secular world, and all the secular colleges that are out there today, almost even Christian, used to be Christian colleges, are now telling you there ain't no God. So we're losing a great number of our Christian young men and women. But if you train them right, if Daddy trained them right, if Granddaddy trained them right at home, and they see the demonstration of the Spirit's power, when they go off to college and somebody says, there is no such thing as God, sign a piece of paper saying God is dead and he don't exist, they say, you know, you got to be out of your mind.
I was raised in a home where daddy was a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I've seen daddy, my daddy, I've seen him get all kinds of answers for prayer. I've seen him do all kinds of things. Don't tell me God's dead. I've lived with a man, that a daddy, that knows God's alive and well. Or a mother. Yeah, oh yeah, it should be both. Yeah, they should both of them should be like that. But the mother, if the daddy is anywhere around, she should go to him and let him be the one that does the praying. He should do that. I had another interesting prayer call this week too, of a man that had a young daughter in her 20s, and she had a problem with her lungs, and they were going to have to replace the lungs, young 20s. So I asked the father, I said, how long has she had this issue? And he said, she was born with it. I said, well, if she was born with it, then I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. I said, do you go to church? He said, well, yes, but I'm losing my faith. I said, what do you mean you're losing your faith? He said, we had another young woman in our church that had this same problem, and she died. I said, well, sir, let me tell you something that you may not be familiar with. He said, what's that? I said, would you believe me if I told you that you and your wife was living in some kind of sin when your daughter was born? That's why she has this problem? He says, no. He said, I never heard that nowhere in my life. I said, well, God does discipline us through our children. I said, I know that's something kind of foreign. He said, I've never heard anything like that. He said, there can't be anything like that in the Bible. Some of y'all laughed right off, don't you? I told him, I said, sir, one of the best places to read about this is in 2 Samuel 12. I said, if you go to 2 Samuel 12, you will find that King David, which was a man after God's own heart, that God loved him with all his heart, he committed adultery with a woman he wasn't married to. All he had about 8 wives. If that ain't enough, if one man has got a problem with 8 women, then that he's got to go outside of the home to have sex with another woman. God told him, he even said this. He said, David, you know, if what I had given you wasn't enough, if you had have asked me, I would have given you more. But he said, because you did that, I, the Lord, am going to strike your child with sickness. And the child was born normal. She carried the baby the whole 9 months, and then she had the little guy and a little boy. And the Lord says, I'm so upset with you, I'm going to strike your child. And the scripture says, the Lord struck the child with sickness, and the child died in 1 week. Did it not?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website, www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.